We often hear of parents warning their children about the dangers of strangers. But the reality is, children are more likely to come to harm by people they know than people they don't. Here at Stolen Lives, children cases are important to us. That's why we do what we do. We hope to bring awareness to the lost or to the forgotten. Cases like the brutal murder of Kelsey Shelton Smith, searching for answers to discover the identity of Delta Dawn, and the unsolved missing persons case of Tabitha Tutors. Listen to Stolen Lives on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to great podcasts like the one you're listening to today.
This podcast contains descriptions of violence against children and adult language and is not suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Suffer the Little Children, the true crime podcast giving voices back to the victims of child abuse and shining a harsh spotlight on the parents, guardians, and caretakers who silence them. I'm your host, Lane, and this is episode 56, Samaya Downing, Part 1. 4-year-old Samaya Downing was living with her father and his girlfriend in Adelanto, California, in December of 2012 when police received a report from a witness that something very bad had happened to Samaya. Police interviewed the couple, and within hours, authorities received information that led them to a shallow grave in the California desert, where they discovered Samaya's body with unimaginable injuries. The story that emerged was a horror of daily beatings, confinement, and diabolical torture, including the water deprivation that ultimately led to Samaya's death, and later, the arrest and conviction of 3 people. In this episode, I'll tell you the story of Samaya's life, her death, and the nearly 9-year criminal case that ensued. Next week, you'll hear my interview with the prosecutor in Samaya's case, San Bernardino County Deputy District Attorney Justin Crocker, who spent years pushing toward justice for the sweet, happy 4-year-old girl with the big brown eyes. This is part 1 of the tragic story of Samaya Downing. My sources for this week were the San Bernardino County District Attorney's website, the San Bernardino Sun, NBC Los Angeles, the Samaya Christine Downing Memorial page on Facebook, the West Valley Detention Center Inmate Information Center, the County of San Bernardino Inmate Locator, Voice, the Daily Press, KTLA-5, Wikipedia, Facebook, VineLink, the Rehydration Project, News Medical, San Bernardino County Deputy District Attorney Justin Crocker, and a brilliant multi-part investigative series by Gina Silva of Fox 11 Los Angeles called The Children Are Dying. I'll include a link in the show notes to the segment about Samaya for anyone who'd like to watch it. Before I get started, I'd like to give a quick shout out to my newest patrons, Amy from Hannibal, Missouri, and Cassandra from Wayne, Michigan. Thank you both so much, and thank you to everyone who's made a monthly pledge or a one-time donation. Your support means so much to me, and every pledge brings me closer to my goal of permanently devoting myself full-time to the podcast and the blog, so thank you again for helping me toward that goal. I first learned about Samaya in news articles released subsequent to the sentencing of her father and his girlfriend, which just took place in mid-March of 2021, and what happened to her is just heartbreaking. Take one look at the photo album for this episode on Facebook, at Samaya's precious little face, and imagine her suffering the cruelty you're about to hear. It's beyond heartbreaking. It's soul-crushing. No child should endure the pain, trauma, and indignity inflicted on Samaya by people who should want more than anything in the world to protect her from any harm. That's why I do this podcast and tell these stories. As painful as it is to research and talk about them, it was infinitely more painful for the children in the stories just to live their lives. These stories need to be told, not only to raise awareness of child abuse and provide information about the signs to watch out for and how to help, but also because these kids deserve to be remembered. On that note, this is Samaya's story. On Valentine's Day of 2008, 17-year-old Monica Shanae Downing and 16-year-old Ronald Dean Greer welcomed their daughter, Samaya Christine Cornell Downing. Samaya's middle name was given to her in honor of her great-grandmother, Christine Downing, who died in an accident about 6 years prior. The honor was extra special because Christine's birthday was on February 11th, just 3 days before Samaya's. It's unclear if or for how long Monica and Ronald were in a romantic relationship, but if they were, it was over by January of 2010, when Ronald, by then 17, began a relationship with 16-year-old Bianca Stanch. By November of that year, Ronald was referring to Bianca as his baby mama. Although she wasn't yet pregnant, the extremely young couple apparently planned to conceive a child in short order, despite the objections of Ronald's family, who chided him on making poor decisions in spite of his 4.0 grade point average. At this point, Samaya was solely in the care of her mother. Ronald saw her very little, if at all, for a good portion of her short life. On February 8, 2011, Ronald made a Facebook post indicating that Bianca was pregnant, on which his aunt commented, "Zip your pants up, boy. You still owe attorney fees." That comment apparently stemmed from a 2010 incident in which Ronald was arrested and charged with felony burglary, as well as 3 misdemeanors, receiving stolen property, vandalism over $400, and escape from a police officer. Ultimately, in 2011, Ronald accepted a plea agreement, pleading no contest to the 3 misdemeanor charges in exchange for the dismissal of the felony burglary charge. He was sentenced to 120 days in county jail and 36 months probation for that offense. In another post, Ronald celebrated being in a relationship with Bianca for 1 year and 1 month. His mother had some harsh words for him in the comments.
"Got some reality coming your way. Once a dummy, always a dummy. You can't even take care of the one you currently got, and you call yourself a man. Like father, like son. Find yourself a new mom. You make the family look bad with all the ghetto crap. But like I said, I got some reality for you."
That didn't stop Ronald from changing his relationship status on Facebook on February 17, 2011, when a new life event post proclaimed,
"Married Bianca Greer."
The couple never legally wed, but they evidently considered themselves a married couple, and Bianca did change her last name from Stanch to Greer on the social media site. It's unclear where the couple was living at the time, if they were even living together, or how they supported themselves. Their favorite hobby was made clear by both of their incessant posts about smoking marijuana, drinking, and being high or hungover. Based on a post Ronald made at one point showing a pile of weed surrounded by wads of cash, it's possible some of his money was not earned in a precisely legal manner, although that's just speculation on my part. At their first ultrasound, Ronald and Bianca were mistakenly told they were having a boy, who they planned to name Ronald Greer III. In October of 2011, when Bianca was 17 and Ronald was 20, their daughter, who I'll call Kay, was born. On a Facebook post Ronald made from Bianca's side while she was in labor, Monica commented,
"Must be nice. I wouldn't know how it feels for someone to be there. JK."
In December of 2011, Bianca and Ronald moved into an apartment together. By that time, Monica, who worked full-time, had started allowing Samaya to spend time at Ronald and Bianca's apartment, wanting Samaya's father to be involved in their daughter's life. Prior to this, Samaya lived full-time with her mother, her baby brother, Monica's second child, her grandma, Christina, and her aunt, Linda. Samaya was a happy, healthy 4-year-old girl with large, exotic-looking, dark brown eyes, a sweet, pretty face, round cheeks, and a shy smile. Her most recent photos depict a smiling little girl with a head full of perfect black braids, accented with colorful barrettes or columns of beads at the end of each. Looking at her photos, you can just imagine how they clacked together when she shook her head. On Samaya's 4th birthday on February 14, 2012, Bianca posted on Facebook,
"Happy birthday to my other daughter, Samaya. I love you, mamas. You're the big 4 today. I wish me, your daddy, and your sis could see you today. We love you, Minky."
Minky was one of many nicknames Samaya's family called her, in addition to Bunny and Little Peanut. Even after their baby was born, and apparently when Samaya was visiting, both Ronald and Bianca constantly posted on Facebook about their marijuana use, referencing Wake and Bake over and over again. Bianca, who apparently purposely misspelled all of her Facebook posts, also had a weird habit of announcing to her followers that she was either going to take a shower or just getting out of the shower, and there were multiple nauseating posts about having sex with Ronald, who she referred to as her husband or baby daddy. In early 2012, Samaya went to live with Ronald, Bianca, and her baby sister. Ronald was working while Bianca stayed home with the baby, so they had what seemed like an ideal setup. In August of 2012, they enrolled Samaya in preschool, and Bianca seemed happy when she posted on Facebook about school shopping for the four-year-old. At some point in mid to late 2012, Ronald essentially stopped allowing other family members to contact Samaya. He and Bianca even moved with the two girls to two or three different homes, making it difficult to track them down. As we've seen in other stories I've covered, and as I mentioned in last week's episode, isolating children from extended family can be a sign that abuse is taking place in the household, and unfortunately, that would prove to be the case here. On Thursday, December 27, 2012, the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department began a missing person investigation after receiving a tip from a witness that something very bad had happened to Samaya. An officer pulled Ronald over in his car and reported that his younger daughter, Kay, was in the vehicle with him, but there was no sign of Samaya. When asked where his older daughter was, Ronald told the officer Samaya was with her mother. Monica, however, disputed that claim, saying her daughter was supposed to be with Ronald. The sheriff's department called in homicide detectives to assist with the investigation. Authorities interviewed Ronald and Bianca in their apartment on Lee Avenue in Adelanto, California, and conducted a search of their residence. The information uncovered during the interviews and the search led police to a remote area of the Mojave Desert, south of a place called Baker, California. Baker is too small to be considered even a village. At last census, the population of Baker was 735 people. It's best known for having the world's largest thermometer, as well as for being the gateway to Death Valley National Park. In the open desert, somewhere between Barstow and Baker, authorities discovered a shallow grave. In that grave was a child's sleeping bag, and inside were the remains of 4-year-old Samaya Christine Cornell Downing, who investigators believed had been murdered on or around December 15th. By the early morning hours of Friday, December 28th, authorities had arrested both 21-year-old Ronald Dean Greer and 19-year-old Bianca Annie Mae Stanch on suspicion of murder. That evening, a third individual was also arrested in the case. Bianca's cousin, 26-year-old Rayshawn Larice Stanch, who had lived with the couple for several weeks prior to Samaya's death, was arrested late Friday evening on suspicion of murder and violation of parole. Rayshawn, who suffered from a sight impairment and multiple learning disabilities, also had a lengthy criminal record. He was charged in March of 2005 with misdemeanor assault with a deadly weapon, for which he was convicted the same year and sentenced to 70 days in county jail and 36 months probation. In addition to that, a restraining order was issued against him, and he was additionally ordered to enroll in an anger management program and enter into rehab. In February of 2006, Rayshawn was charged with two minor crimes, both misdemeanors, including loitering and sitting or lying on a public way, a controversial law intended to dissuade the homeless from resting or sleeping on sidewalks or in other public areas. For that incident, Rayshawn pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 24 months probation. A week later, a contempt of court charge earned him additional probation and an order to stay away from his grandmother's house. That June, he was charged again with contempt of court and sentenced to 36 more months of probation. Then, in December of 2006, Rayshawn was hit with some highly concerning charges, including two felonies, assault with a deadly weapon and willful cruelty to a child, and two misdemeanors, vandalism and battery. He agreed to plead no contest to the assault with a deadly weapon charge, and the other three charges were ultimately dismissed. For that incident, Rayshawn was sentenced to 36 months in state prison and 36 months of formal supervised probation. After being released for that series of crimes, in 2011, Rayshawn was charged with misdemeanor battery, for which he was convicted in August of 2012, earning another 3 years probation. Meanwhile, the month before that conviction, Rayshawn was charged with two more felonies, possessing a narcotic-controlled substance, and serving a prison term for a prior felony, per California's three-strikes law. He pleaded no contest to the possession charge, and the other charges were dismissed as a result. Once again, in August, he received probation for these charges, although his probation was revoked after he was arrested in connection with Samaya's murder. Grieving relatives created the Samaya Christine Downing Memorial page on Facebook, which remains open to this day, moderated by several members of Samaya's maternal family. Talking with reporters, Samaya's maternal grandfather, Christopher Downing, said,
"I still don't understand. There's nothing in the world a baby could do to deserve even a part of this. If I thought any of this would have happened, if I thought she was in any danger, she would have been with me. She was just like any other little girl visiting her father.
Christopher, who Samaya called Papa, was grateful for all of the kind words supporters had posted on the Facebook page.
It really does help. It does bring me comfort. I would like to thank everybody that posted and donated. I really appreciate it.
Samaya's funeral took place on January 9, 2013, after which she was buried at Forest Lawn Memorial Park in Covina, California. On the headstone that would eventually be put in at her final resting place, the following words are engraved.
Mommy's bundle of love, forever missed, loved, and never forgotten. Samaya Christine Cornell Downing, 2/14/2008.
On January 2, 2013, Ronald and Bianca, both wearing green jail jumpsuits, were arraigned before Judge Lorenzo Balderrama, who appointed conflict panel attorneys for both defendants. A conflict panel is a group of private attorneys that contract with the county to provide their services to defendants when the public defender's office is too busy to take the case or for some reason has a conflict representing a particular defendant. About a dozen of Samaya's family members watched from the gallery as both Ronald and Bianca pleaded not guilty to the charges against them, which included felony murder with a special circumstance of intentional infliction of torture, felony torture as a separate count, and felony willful cruelty to a child with an enhancement of willfully causing death. Later that day, at a separate arraignment hearing, Rayshawn also pleaded not guilty to his three felony charges, which also included murder, torture, and willful cruelty to a child. Initially, Ronald Greer was assigned conflict defense panel attorney Daniel Mangan. Bianca Stanch's original attorney was named Ronald Powell, although Ronald Greer's attorney Daniel Mangan represented her at several subsequent hearings as well, including their pre-preliminary hearing on January 10th. Rayshawn was initially represented by Deputy Public Defender Michael Mendoza. Ronald, it would turn out, would change attorneys more often than he changed his socks. Bianca and Rayshawn also went through more than their share of lawyers themselves. We've seen the old musical attorney's trick used before as a stalling tactic by some defendants. In a case I recently covered in episode 49 and updated even more recently in minisode number 3, the story of Courtney Clay of Elgin, Illinois, the man ultimately convicted of Courtney's 1997 rape and murder also played the old lawyer switcheroo so many times that his criminal case dragged on for almost 9 years, just like this one. He was finally offered a plea agreement that allowed him to walk out of prison just last month. Maybe there's a legal defense for scumbags handbook we don't know about, but I digress. In July of 2013, after the prosecution designated the case against Ronald and Bianca a life without parole case based on the special circumstances filed, the court appointed each of them a special circumstances attorney. Ronald's lawyer, Daniel Mangan, was relieved, and he was assigned attorney H. Charles Smith. Ron Powell was relieved as Bianca's defense attorney and was replaced by Robert F. Alvaranga. Within a month, H. Charles Smith was replaced by retained attorney Alan Baum, although it's unclear where Ronald got the funds to pay for that. In September of 2013, several photos of various parts of Samaya's body were entered as evidence. A motion to exclude certain witnesses was granted, and a jury trial was scheduled for Rayshawn Stanch to begin on November 4th of the same year. Ronald's retained attorney, Alan Baum, was relieved, this time replaced by conflict defense panel attorney Julian Decree, who would represent him for the next 12 months. In October, Rayshawn's trial was postponed to November 12th, and a motion made by Ronald's defense to allow him to carry a pocket Bible to and from court was denied. Bianca's attorney filed a motion to sever, which was granted on November 1st. This would ensure Rayshawn would be tried separately from Ronald and Bianca, who were ultimately tried together. Before Rayshawn's trial could begin, his defense and the prosecution reached a plea agreement. On November 4th, 2013, Rayshawn Stanch pleaded guilty to the felony charge of willful cruelty to a child, and his charges of murder and torture were subsequently dismissed. As part of his plea deal, Rayshawn was required to provide truthful testimony at Ronald and Bianca's trial, so he would not receive his sentence until that was completed. In the meantime, both Ronald and Rayshawn saw further attorney turnover. Ronald's conflict defense panel attorney Julian Decree was relieved in September of 2014, and retained attorney Aaron Turner took over Ronald's defense for the next 5 years. Rayshawn's public defender, Michael Mendoza, declared a conflict in January of 2014, and he was assigned conflict panel attorney Sean O'Connor, who, 2 years later, was replaced by yet another conflict panel attorney, Scott Brown. With all the video conferencing and virtual meetings going on these days, we all want to look our best. If you're like me, you're probably confused by all the different methods of teeth whitening on the market. Now that I'm partnering with Smile Brilliant, I've learned a few things that you might find helpful about home teeth whitening methods. For example, LED lights are a novelty item. Whitening strips neglect the gum lines, crevices, and molars. Charcoal is abrasive and wears down your enamel. And whitening toothpaste only works on surface stains. So if none of these miracle products really works, what does? The number one product recommended by dentists is the custom-fitted tray, which usually costs an arm and a leg because they require a dentist to make them by hand using a model of your teeth. With Smile Brilliant's Lab Direct process, you can get custom-fitted teeth whitening trays at a fraction of the price without a single visit to the dentist. Using an exact model of your teeth, Smile Brilliant's lab technicians will handcraft your trays to give you the best possible whitening results. All you have to do is visit smilebrilliant.com, and when you order their system, make sure you use the coupon code CHILDREN at checkout for 30% off. When you receive the package from Smile Brilliant, it's really simple. You just make your dental impressions at home and return them using the prepaid envelope they provide you. In a matter of 1 week, Smile Brilliant will have your trays back in the mail. Using my coupon code, CHILDREN, means you're supporting me while saving a huge amount of money. So check out smilebrilliant.com today. In 2015, Gina Silva, a reporter and newscaster for Fox 11 Los Angeles, released a multi-part investigative series called The Children Are Dying, about the pervasive and catastrophic failure of the county's Child Protective Service Agency to save the lives of abused children under their supervision. In the series, several CPS caseworkers, their faces and voices obscured to maintain anonymity, spoke out about the overwhelming caseloads heaped upon them and the lackadaisical attitude employed by many within the system. One installment of the series featured the story of Samaya's death and revealed that in December of 2012, there was an open investigation with San Bernardino County CPS regarding physical abuse and severe neglect of Samaya. Samaya's maternal grandma, Christina Cornell, participated in an interview for the series.
The sweetest, most kindest, lovable little girl in the world, then the manner that she was murdered and taken away. It's like, who does that to a child? The manner that she was murdered and tortured is so brutal. And it sits in the back of your mind and your head, especially when you've seen it all and you've heard everything. And you're like, she was 4 years old. How can somebody stand that much pain and torture? She allowed her to go visit with him. And then when it was time for her to get her daughter back, he didn't bring her back. And he actually moved from place to place. There was three different places. There was not one part on her body that I didn't see that wasn't beaten or burned or tortured. Every part of her body, her hands, she even had defensive marks on her hands. It makes me so upset because these kids are left there to die. What about all these children that have been murdered? Your job is to protect these children.
After Samaya's social worker made initial contact with Samaya and had concerns about bruises she saw on the little girl, she consulted with her supervisors, who held a risk assessment meeting about Samaya's case. For whatever unfathomable reason, they determined that based on the lack of information they had, Samaya should remain in her father's home. After that determination, the social worker was supposed to follow up with Samaya, but she didn't. At that point, the caseworker was burdened with over 90 cases of suspected child abuse, which is far beyond the caseload she should have carried at any given time. She wasn't the only one, either. A month prior to Samaya's death, a group of CPS caseworkers banded together and wrote a letter to the agency's Human Resources Department, pleading for action to be taken.
There was a group of social workers that banded together, and they were pleading with Human Resources to do something. They were explaining, you know, we have 3, 4, 5 times the investigations that we should have, and this is very concerning to us because children are going to die.
As it turned out, Samaya's caseworker didn't make contact with the family for several weeks, and when she did, she found out that Samaya had died 18 days prior, her little body later found buried in the desert. The case was continued multiple times throughout 2015 and 2016. In early 2017, Rayshon Stanch's defense notified the court that there was some doubt as to Rayshon's mental health, and because his testimony was integral to the case against Ronald Greer and Bianca Stanch, the proceedings were suspended. Rayshon was referred in May of that year to the county mental health director for placement, and it wasn't until December of 2017 that he was found mentally competent, allowing the proceedings to be reinstated. In December of 2017, Rayshon's previous sentence of probation for his 2012 drug arrest was amended. He was resentenced to 180 days in prison and given credit for 180 days time served. By 2019, Ronald Greer was represented by the attorney who would accompany him to trial, Vanya Quarles of Corona, California. Bianca, too, was then represented by attorney Michael Duncan, who would provide her defense during trial. Motions were filed, defendants hopped from attorney to attorney, and court date after court date was continued, mostly at the request of the defense side. Prior to the COVID-19 emergency order issued in March of 2020 by California's governor, Gavin Newsom, the case was continued and postponed well over 20 times. Prosecutors feared the pandemic would only prolong the family's agony by further putting off the trial, so as soon as the California Supreme Court gave the indication that criminal trials would resume in a limited capacity, taking into account such safety protocols as social distancing and face masks, the district attorney's office pushed hard for Somaya's case to be given priority. At long last, on July 28, 2020, the murder trial began for 29-year-old Ronald Dean Greer and 26-year-old Bianca Annie Mae Stanch, with Superior Court Judge Dan Detienne presiding. The trial took place over 6 weeks, during which prosecutors presented the court with evidence and called over 20 witnesses, including friends, family members, and teachers, all of whom testified about the sweet, happy little girl they remembered. During his testimony, Rayshawn Stanch told the court about the terrible treatment Somaya received at the hands of his cousin, Bianca, including daily beatings, while the girl's father stood idly by without intervening. Bianca, according to a later press release from the district attorney's office,
had an extreme dislike for Somaya and treated her poorly.
The couple
routinely used denial of water as a form of punishment,
as the prosecutor's statement continued, and multiple times they bound Somaya's wrists and ankles with duct tape to prevent her from getting out of her room overnight to get water. In addition, they installed a deadbolt on the outside of Samaya's bedroom door, which enabled them to confine her in her room at any time for as long as they liked. Once in early 2012, Somaya managed to escape her bedroom and made it to the kitchen, where she drank the only liquid she could find, bleach, from a bottle under the sink. During the trial, the details of the final days of Samaya's life were finally revealed. Somaya was refused water to drink for at least 1 to 2 days, and possibly longer. The day before she died, Somaya was beaten and forced to stand in the corner for 8 hours. The following day, Bianca beat Somaya ruthlessly with a belt and some kind of electrical cord, leaving no part of the little girl's body unmarked. In an unthinkably vicious attack, Bianca then boiled a pot of water and poured it over Samaya's back and shoulders. That evening, Somaya was acting sluggish and sleepy. Despite her grievous injuries and her obviously dire state, her father and his girlfriend locked her inside a bedroom and callously went out to dinner, leaving her with Rayshawn, who lived in the Lee Avenue apartment with the family at the time. By the time the couple returned home from dinner, Somaya was dead, so the three of them concealed her body in her sleeping bag, drove her out to the desert, and buried her in a shallow grave. After she was discovered, an autopsy revealed her cause of death was dehydration, which is a state in which the body loses more fluid than it takes in. I want to take a minute to describe the effects of dehydration on a child so we all understand what Somaya went through in her final days. In the early stages of dehydration, symptoms may include extreme thirst, dark yellow urine, reduced urine output, dizziness, weakness, muscle cramps in the arms and legs, headache, and the child feeling sleepy, irritable, and unwell in general. When dehydration is severe, the symptoms become more serious, including low blood pressure, fainting, severe and extremely painful cramps in the muscles of the arms, legs, stomach, and back, seizures, rapid breathing, quick pulse, multiple organ failure, brain damage, and even death. If the child goes into hypovolemic shock, in which a person loses more than 20% of the body's blood or fluid supply, the signs can include diminished consciousness, rapid and feeble pulse, low or undetectable blood pressure, and peripheral cyanosis, or the extremities turning blue from lack of blood flow. If the child is not immediately rehydrated, usually with IV fluids, death follows soon afterward. In addition to the dehydration that caused Samaya's death, the autopsy also revealed that she was severely malnourished. While 6 months prior, she had been measured in the 50th percentile for weight at her age, at the time of her death, she was in the 5th percentile, meaning she weighed less than 95% of other girls her age. Rayshawn testified at trial to witnessing Bianca and Ronald withholding both food and water as punishment on a regular basis. In a bold move most defense attorneys advise against, Ronald took the stand in his own defense, denying being aware of the abuse his daughter had endured in his own apartment. According to the prosecutor's statement,
several inconsistencies emerged during cross-examinations on the events of 2012 and what Greer knew about how Somaya was being treated.
On September 29, 2020, the jury began deliberations, and a week later, on Tuesday, October 6th, they returned with a verdict. Both Bianca Annie Mae Stanch and Ronald Dean Greer were found guilty on all charges. Their sentencing would take place at a hearing on Friday, March 12, 2021, during which a victim impact statement was read in open court by victim witness advocate Laura Baker. Bianca and Ronald each received a sentence of 32 years to life in prison. Prosecuting Deputy District Attorney Justin Crocker later said,
"Unfortunately, because of the actions of her father and his girlfriend, Somaya wasn't here to tell her own story to the jurors. Thankfully, the evidence at trial told the tragic story for her. Somaya was betrayed by the people closest to her, and they have now been held accountable for that betrayal."
San Bernardino County District Attorney Jason Anderson said,
"Torturing a child in San Bernardino County will be met with the most vigorous of prosecutions, and those responsible will be held accountable for their actions. When Somaya was murdered, our community was greatly affected by the actions of her killers. From Somaya's extended family, friends, and teachers, to the law enforcement officers investigating this crime, to everyone in the district attorney's office that had a part in this case, we will always hold Somaya in our memory and our hearts."
After the sentencing, Christopher Downing, Somaya's papa, wrote on Facebook that he was
"glad our baby Somaya got justice. They are where they belong."
According to court records, it appears Bianca, who is now 27, will soon be transferred from the West Valley Detention Center, where she's been held since her arrest in December of 2012, to Chino, California, to serve her sentence in the California Institution for Women at Frontera, which is currently home to a host of infamous women whose names are well known to true crime followers. Its current inmates include Betty Broderick, who was convicted in 1991 of the 1989 shooting murder of her ex-husband and his new wife and former secretary, Patricia Krenwinkle and Leslie Van Houten, two members of the Manson family, Stephanie Lazarus, a former LAPD detective who was convicted 26 years after the 1986 murder of her former boyfriend's wife, and Brenda Ann Spencer, who was convicted of a school shooting in 1979 in which, at age 16, she killed two people and injured nine. Ronald, who will turn 30 this June, will apparently be transferred to the California Institution for Men in Chino, where a COVID-19 outbreak last year led to the transfer of 200 vulnerable inmates to San Quentin, which then caused an outbreak that caused more than a third of the prison population to test positive. Less than a week after his sentencing, Ronald filed a notice of appeal, which was to be expected. For her part, Bianca has not yet appealed her conviction or her sentence. Rayshon Stanch has not yet been sentenced for his part in the crime, but since he followed through with testifying against Bianca and Ronald as part of his plea agreement, his sentencing has been scheduled for April 23, 2021 at 8:30 a.m. before Judge Detienne. Currently, there's no record of Rayshon in any San Bernardino jail facility or in the California Department of Corrections database, and in fact, he appears to have updated his Facebook profile picture in January of this year, so it's very possible he is not currently incarcerated. I'll continue to follow the case and post any updates on sufferthelittlechildrenblog.com. In its post-sentencing statement, the San Bernardino County District Attorney's Office urged anyone aware of child abuse to report it, saying,
"You may be their only hope, and you could be saving their life."
As we near the end of today's episode, I want to take some time to remember Somaya Christine Cornell Downing as the sweet, beloved, beautiful little girl she was. Grandma Christina Cornell called Somaya
"my Minky, the light of my life, the apple of my eye, my little angel face who was full of grace."
About Somaya, Christina wrote,
"She was loved, cherished. She brought us so much joy and happiness, and she loved everyone. She was such a good little girl, always obedient, loving, kind, caring, smart, funny, a little princess. She was. She touched many hearts."
In 2013, Somaya's papa, Christopher Downing, told reporters,
"She was a loving child. She loved Dora, and she loved to go to Chuck E. Cheese just like any four-year-old."
When she did go to Chuck E. Cheese, Somaya's big brown eyes grew even wider as she ran around the arcade games, crawled through the play tunnels, and bounced from ride to ride, enjoying every moment. Somaya's papa said,
"She's a happy little girl. She loves to play, loves to eat, just like all other children."
He said he would never forget the last thing Somaya ever said to him.
"Papa, are you coming to my birthday?"
Somaya's great-aunt Lori told a reporter in 2013,
"I'll always remember she had a smile on her face. She was kind of shy and bashful when she meets people for the first time, but she was always smiling, happy, and really playful."
Lori last saw Somaya at Christmas in 2011 when, she remembered, her great-niece got lots of presents. After she ripped them all open, she made sure to give hugs to all of her family members and thank them. Lori said,
"We want her to be remembered, and for people to remember that she was loved and taken good care by our family, that she wasn't abandoned with these people."
"My heart goes out to the Cornell and Downing families for their loss and for the 9 years they've spent waiting for justice. I hope once the sentencing is complete, they'll be able to find peace and healing, and I hope they know we will never allow Somaya to be forgotten. Rest in peace, Somaya. You will always be remembered." That's it for this week. Tune in next week to hear my interview with the prosecutor of Somaya's case, San Bernardino County Deputy District Attorney Justin Crocker, who answered a ton of questions and filled in a lot of gaps in the story for me. You definitely don't want to miss it. Until next week, bye everyone. If you like the show, please follow or subscribe to Suffer the Little Children on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast listening app. And please leave me a 5-star rating and a positive review on your favorite podcast platform. You can also subscribe on YouTube by searching Suffer the Little Children Podcast. Visit the website at sufferthelittlechildrenpod.com, where you can listen to episodes or become a patron for rewards ranging from a shout-out by name on the show to exclusive gifts. Follow the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and Pinterest at Suffer the Little Children Pod, and on Twitter and TikTok at STLCPod. View photos related to today's episode on Facebook and Instagram. For more stories like the one you heard today, visit sufferthelittlechildrenblog.com. This podcast is researched, written, hosted, edited, and produced by Lane. Intro theme music is by Dream Note Music, and all music for the show is licensed from audiojungle.net. Email tips, comments, questions, or case suggestions to sufferthelittlechildrenpod@gmail.com. For more information about preventing or reporting child abuse, visit childhelp.org or call your area's child abuse hotline. If you see something, say something. Until next week, bye everyone.